This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Top of the 8 o'clock hour in our nation's capital here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest of Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. A lot more to get to. About Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, going to join the program a little bit later on in this 8 o'clock hour as we continue to look ahead at a pivotal offseason for the Washington Commanders, the most pivotal one of the rebuild from my vantage point. But to keep business, so to speak, I want to wrap up the conversation we were having in that 7 o'clock hour in terms of what the Commanders should be prioritizing as we get geared up for free agency. I got to pinch myself every time I look at the calendar. The Washington Commanders offseason, because they punched their ticket to the NFC title game, the Commanders offseason started a lot later than we're traditionally accustomed to. And for that reason, I kind of am more excited or giddy and antsy than I have been in previous years because I feel like there's been this weight on my back of when can we get to the offseason? When can we get to the offseason? I love offseason chatter, by the way, because it's speculative. There's no wrong answer. And it lets some of you all get creative and show off your football acumen on the phones and on social media. So always love getting to that. But, man, this offseason, as I'll continue to say every time I do a show this offseason, it is about how you capitalize on 2024. Can you maximize the 2024 season? What do I mean by that? For the first time in my lifetime, ownership, GM, head coach, all on the same page. You have a long-term answer at the game's most important position. You've got a litany of cap space. How do you capitalize off of last year, a season in which you went to the NFC Championship game for the first time since 91. It is hard as hell to get back to the top of the mountain. That's why Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, the scouts, that's why they make the big bucks. They have some difficult decisions to make this offseason in terms of who to bring in free agency, who to look at in the draft, who to give a contract extension to, who do I pay big money to in free agency, what are my actual needs. There are a lot of things that Adam Peters and Lance Newmark got to figure out between now and August when the team reports, or July rather, when the team reports for training camp. A lot to figure out between now and then. To me, though, the name of the game should be aggression. How aggressive will this group be? I think they should be uber aggressive. I think they should do everything in their power to try and upgrade the roster within reason. Emphasis on within reason, right? I don't need a $35 million per year number two wideout. Not here for it, right? I don't need that. I think the big spending in free agency for Washington, I actually got to listen to JP and Beamich earlier today talk about this. To me, the big spending in free agency for Washington should be at corner, offensive line, and then your defensive front. Like, that to me is where you go out and spend your big bucks. Doesn't mean you get irresponsible there, but you got some money to blow. So I expect Adam Peters and company to act like it. 1-800-636-1067. I mentioned tough decisions that Washington was going to have to make. Washington's got some real, real tough decisions to make. Of those tough decisions, they got to figure out, of our own guys that are free agents, in Washington, this number knocks my socks off every time I look at it. The Commanders have 29 unrestricted free agents of their own, including Bobby Wagner, Jeremy Chinn, Marcus Mariota, Dante Fowler Jr., Zach Ertz, Alameda Zacchaeus, De'Ami Brown, John Bates. These are routine, everyday players for this group. But there are 29 unrestricted free agents for Washington. The big thing that I look at, that's where the toughest decisions have to be made. Because like I said, there are going to be guys that you don't bring back because other teams outbidded you for them. I look at Dante Fowler Jr. Everybody looks at the 10.5 sacks from Dante Fowler Jr. And they brought him in on a one-year, $3 million deal this year. Via SpotTrack, his market value says he's upped it to $5.2 million annually. I just don't believe that's going to be the case. If Jadeveon Clowney was able to go get 2 for 20 from Carolina, and he didn't have double-digit sacks, you don't think Dante Fowler going to go get some chicken from somebody? It's hard for me to feel like that. He's 30, 10 years in the league. I just don't know, man. I always say it. It was the quietest 10.5 sacks you'll ever see. And I don't mean to be a jerk when I say that. Quietest 10.5 sacks you'll ever see. But 10.5 sacks is 10.5 sacks. There's going to be someone out there that values that production and goes, hey, let me see what Dante Fowler is cooking with. I'm not losing bidding wars or getting into bidding wars, rather, for average talent. And I think Dante Fowler is an average talent. But you can't tell that to some of the fans out there. That's why I say it ain't for the weak of heart. This is a tough man's job. You got to be willing to piss some people off and not think twice about it when it comes to the decisions you got to make year in, year out as a general manager. I mentioned I got the chance to catch up with Logan Paulson. We'll let you hear part one of that conversation coming up a little bit later on in this hour. Right now, though, I want to take a snippet out of that conversation. I asked Logan Paulson earlier which free agent the Washington Commanders should prioritize bringing back. He had this to say. When you look at some of the key impact players, your Jeremy Chins, your Zach Ertz, your Bobby Wagner, who do you think is the priority guy that Washington should be really itching to bring back?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, like, I'm going to defer to Adam Peters and the decision he makes, but just based on what I've seen this season, I'm going to say probably Jeremy Chin strikes me as a guy because of his age, because of his role in the defense, because of how they utilized him, a guy that really, I think, does a lot for you, you know, and it's a piece you can kind of build around. Like, Zach had a tremendous year, but again, he's 34 years old. And, you know, like, I think he should be back and deserves to be back, but I think you have to plan around him, you know, like, long-term, what's this going to look like? Same thing with Bobby. I know McGee's still on the roster, and they're excited about his development, but I think you need to start, if you do bring those guys, start having contingency plans for those older players. While with Jeremy Chin, I do think he can be, you know, a guy that's here for 3 years, a guy that's here for the length of Jaden's rookie contract, and I think that's valuable. And so the youth coupled with the play, I think I'd probably prioritize trying to get him back as a Commander here.
Interesting to hear from former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. He says Jeremy Chin would be the free agent that he prioritizes bringing back if he is this Washington Commander's front office. They signed Jeremy Chin to a one-year, I think it was $5 million deal in free agency. Set to turn 27 coming up this year. Via SpotTrack, SpotTrack says his market value is about $6 million annually. The safety market, I think we realized this last year when we were talking about Cam Curl. The safety market is saturated right now in the National Football League. Guys aren't getting the lucrative deals that we have been traditionally accustomed to at that position. I comp safety to running back. I feel like safeties in the NFL are getting treated like running back right now. And hey, look, to each his own, right? I think when it comes down to how much safeties are being paid, it's not going to be, I guess, the market all the way that dictates it. The other thing that's going to dictate it as well is, well, what value does that safety bring to your defense? If you're a defense that relies heavily upon the safety and asks the safety to do a lot the way Washington does with Jeremy Chinn, maybe he's worth a little bit more to you. So that's where the conversation gets interesting, man. 1-800-636-1067. Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, says Jeremy Chinn is the in-house free agent that Washington should prioritize bringing back. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll give you my top free agent in-house that Washington should prioritize bringing back. That's next here on The Fan. One 800 636 1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. It's the youngest in charge. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. About an hour and a half left to go on the show. Plenty more to get to, including part one of my sit-down with former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. We dished on any and everything relative to this Commanders offseason. We'll get to that coming up momentarily. I told you all I am a steward of the Wizards. So I'm going to give you an update on the DC family. Fellas playing really good ball right now at home. Up 11 with just under 11 minutes left to go in the third quarter. A 49-60 lead at home over the Indiana Pacers. Alex Saar back in the lineup tonight for the Washington Wizards. He has been extremely helpful on the defensive end. Wizards playing good D, holding Indiana just 40% from the field. On the other side, offensively, Wizards hockey hot from behind the arc, 13-27 from the perimeter. They're shooting 46% from the field. This is always a good sign for me that the offense is humming and playing well. 16 assists on 23 made field goals. That is a sign that the ball is a popping and a moving for the Washington Wizards. Continue to be impressed with the defense of this group, man. The effort of this team is ratcheted up post-trade deadline and post-Kyle Kuzma being gone and out of the way. I just sent this to myself via my guy Kevin Folley of the Wizards film room on Twitter. The Wizards' offensive rating for the season, 105.4, that was dead last in the NBA. The Wizards' offensive rating since trading Kyle Kuzma, just a four-game sample size, 117.6, 13th in the NBA. So clearly it's all Kyle Kuzma's fault as to why the Wizards were struggling. I'm obviously being facetious when I say that, man, but there have just been a couple of sequences tonight, man, where you could just see these young guys improving and getting better, turning defense into offense. The one thing I used to get ticked off with this group about, and I don't think you're seeing it, I guess. I don't know if you can say that because they've shot the ball really well. The thing that's driven me up a wall to no end with this team, their shot making influencing their effort on the defensive end of the floor. That's a big no-no for me. Not something I'm willing to tolerate, not something I'm willing to accept. I think they've gotten better in that area. I think the effort has been a lot better, no matter how the shots have been falling. But I don't know, man. We'll see if they can keep it up, man. It's been really, really fun to watch this team play. The starting lineup that they strolled out there tonight, I would have to believe, and hope, I guess, is the word I should use. I have to hope that this is what they roll with the rest of the season. It was Bub Carrington and Jordan Poole sharing the backcourt together. Little do we know, and this is why I think this thing gets interesting, man. Bub Carrington and Jordan Poole may be your backcourt of the future. Who knows? Jordan Poole, 25 years old. Who knows ultimately how it goes? Now, Dylan Harper, we got a chance to see him up close to person this past Sunday. Woo-wee! Getting James Harden comps. But no, like, that was their starting backcourt for tonight. Jordan Poole, Bub Carrington, love that. They started Bilal Coulibaly at small forward, Keyshawn George at the power forward spot, and then Alex Saar at the five. That'd probably be my starting lineup moving forward, man. I know Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton going to come back. I don't know how pressed they're going to be in the starting five, But, like, man, if this group can start to build some synergy with each other, Alex Starr making plays out the short roll, it's a good group, man. I'm interested in watching their hustle and their growth and their development, man. As Alex Starr just knocked down a triple from 2 feet behind the three-point line. Love to see that from the Big Eiffel, as Jordan Poole likes to call him, man. Brandon and Gaithersburg, real quick, wants to chime in on the Wizards before we get back to the Commanders. What's up, B?
Yeah, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm so excited. My daughter is taking me to for my birthday to a Wizards game. I don't know where she's getting the money. She probably took it out of my wallet. She's only 14, so she's treating me, and she's so excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited too, man. This is our second game together this year, and they're almost selling out. I don't know what's going on, but it's a great vibe. I love it.
Yeah, they're playing much better basketball. I hope she didn't steal it out of your wallet.
No.
I hope you've been rewarding her with a good allowance, and she's been frugal with the
coins. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe her grandpa's hooking her up left and right. So yeah, I'm excited. It's a good vibe.
Definitely. What was the Wizards game that you went to earlier this year?
I don't remember, man.
You don't even remember? Holy cow, buddy.
I don't even remember. Yeah.
Well, that just shows you how uneventful Wizards basketball was to start the season. I appreciate the call. Want to get back into it. Logan Paulson, former Redskins tight end, got the chance to catch up with him earlier. If we got it ready, Metal Chris, it's Logan Paulson on the in-house free agent that Washington should prioritize bringing back. Here's what the big fella had to say. When you look at some of the key impact players, your Jeremy Chins, your Zach Ertz, your Bobby Wagner, who do you think is the priority guy that Washington should be really itching to bring back?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, like, I'm going to defer to Adam Peters and the decision he makes, but just based on what I've seen this season, I'm going to say probably Jeremy Chins strikes me as a guy because of his age, because of his role in the defense, because of how they utilized him, a guy that really, I think, does a lot for you, you know, and it's a piece you can kind of build around. Like, Zach had a tremendous year, but again, he's 34 years old. And, you know, like, I think he should be back and deserves to be back, but I think you have to plan around him, you know, like, long-term, what's this going to look like? Same thing with Bobby. I know McGee's still on the roster, and they're excited about his development, but I think you need to start, if you do bring those guys, start having contingency plans for those older players. While with Jeremy Chin, I do think he can be, you know, a guy that's here for 3 years, a guy that's here for the length of Jaden's rookie contract, and I think that's valuable. And so the youth coupled with the play, I think I'd probably prioritize trying to get him back as a Commander here.
You heard it from Logan Paulson's mouth. Jeremy Chin, the free agent in-house that he is prioritizing bringing back. I gave you the numbers a moment ago via SpotTrack. They project him to get $6 million annually. I don't know if that number is accurate. They're talking about a 3-year, $18 million deal. Similarly to what we expected Cam Curl to get this past year, but then the safety market got so saturated, and we saw that with guys like Justin Simmons not getting signed to the very end, a former All-Pro. So we'll see how the safety market moves this offseason, but if it's only $6 million annually, even if it gets up to $7, $8 million, I'm willing to do it for Jeremy Chin. I thought he played really well, and at 27 years old, he is a guy that could be a key part of this thing moving forward. I also think, right, when you talk about what Adam Peters and company are looking for in a Commanders football player, I think Jeremy Chin checks every box. Height, weight, speed, physicality, toughness, all the above, man. But I'm going to disagree with Logan Paulson in terms of the free agency, the free agent guy that Washington's got to prioritize bringing back. I'm going to go with Bobby Wagner, and here's why. If you've been listening to Overtime since the season ended, I've thrown these numbers out a bunch of different times. Bobby Wagner played 98% of the defensive snaps last year. How do you replace that production? He was the guy that wore the green dot, the guy that called out all of the checks defensively. You got to bring that back. Because when you play a guy 98% of the snaps, it's not like anybody else got any legit work at being the Mike linebacker. So I don't want this defense to take a step back next year. I think there's a real possibility that you do take a step back defensively if you bring in a guy like Bobby, or don't bring back, rather, a guy like Bobby Wagner. I'm not saying play him 98% of the snaps. I'm saying bring him back, and hopefully Jordan McGee, your linebacker that's drafted this past year out of Temple, hopefully he is ready to take some of the load off of Bobby Wagner's plate and play some more snaps at that linebacker spot. Let's go to Dan in D.C. Before we hit a timeout, Dan, your in-house Commanders free agent that they should prioritize bringing back.
Yes, hi. Hi, I think they should bring back Adrian Peterson. We need a running back.
Dan, that's not the question. The in-house free agent that the Commanders should bring back, one of the 29 guys that they have as a free agent this summer, who should they bring back?
Well, definitely that wide receiver. I think his name is Scary Terry or something.
That's embarrassing. 1-800-636-1067. Part one of my conversation with former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson comes your way next. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham, will take you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Right now, as promised, we will get an in-depth look at the Washington Commanders' upcoming offseason, one that I continue to dub the most important offseason of this rebuild, striking while the iron is hot, taking advantage of the resources that you have. No better person to join me to talk about this all-important Commanders offseason than former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. He is also the co-host of the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. You can download that wherever you get your podcast. Logan, appreciate you giving us some time, big fella.
Yeah, no, as always, appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeed, man. So I am in a weird spot. You know, I always try to separate fan and then work when I do this stuff. Obviously, lifelong fan of this team. They control my day-to-day emotions when they probably shouldn't. But I'm, you know, obviously excited about what we have to look forward to. There's a lot of rumors that will circulate throughout this offseason, especially when you consider where Washington is, fresh off of an NFC championship berth, third most cap space in the National Football League as you get ready to enter free agency. But I want to start, Logan, with this offseason, looking at some of the homegrown guys. There's about 20-something free agents that Washington is going to have to make decisions on. When you look at some of the key impact players, your Jeremy Chins, your Zach Ertz, your Bobby Wagner, who do you think is the priority guy that Washington should be really itching to bring back?
Yeah, I mean, and obviously, like, I'm going to defer to Adam Peters and the decision he makes, but just based on what I've seen this season, I'm going to say probably Jeremy Chin strikes me as a guy because of his age, because of his role in the defense, because of how they utilized him, a guy that really, I think, does a lot for you, you know, and it's a piece you can kind of build around. Like, Zach had a tremendous year, but again, he's 34 years old, and, you know, like, I think he should be back and deserves to be back, but I think you have to plan around him, you know, like long term, what's this going to look like? Same thing with Bobby. I know McGee's still on the roster and they're excited about his development, but I think you need to start, if you do bring those guys, start having contingency plans for those older players. While with Jeremy Chin, I do think he can be, you know, a guy that's here for 3 years, a guy that's here for the length of Jaden's rookie contract. And I think that that's valuable. And so the youth coupled with the play, I think I probably prioritize trying to get him back as a Commander here.
Yeah, Jeremy Chin is interesting, Logan, because I think he's right on the fringe. I wouldn't call him a top five safety, but I also think he is one of the better guys in this league at his position. And then when you factor in the youth and the production that he had for this defense, I think it becomes a no-brainer. I wouldn't get into a bidding war for Jeremy Chin. We know the safety market's kind of been saturated in free agency over the past couple of years, but you kind of brought up an interesting point, something that me and you have actually texted about. I have, you know, I appreciate everything that Bobby Wagner has brought to this defense from a, you know, leadership standpoint. I think Jaden told a really cool story out at Radio Row about how after a game there in the cold tub at 2 o'clock in the morning at the facility after getting back from a road game. So it kind of shows you, you know, his leadership ability, but he played 98% of the snaps last year, Logan. When you watch him on film in the run game in particular, what do you see and how much did he, you know, aid Washington's struggles, I guess, in the run game?
Yeah, so I think that's a really tough question to answer. And I think, Bobby, you know, I think he did a lot of really good things this year. I think the leadership element's huge. I think when you watch his ability to make plays at and around the line of scrimmage, that's huge, too. I think his mastery and ability to check and kind of communicate defensive perspective is also incredibly important. But there are times, like, where you're kind of like, is this the right fit, or is he in the gap he's supposed to be in now? I will say, like, defense is incredibly complicated. It's so reactive and it's so fluid, and that makes it really hard to diagnose exactly what people should be doing. I'm, you know, talking with a couple of former defensive coaches that I know to kind of get a better understanding of run fits, you know, ways that the Commanders could use different personnel to kind of maximize, or how they're calling the defense from this outside, from these third party perspectives. So I'm learning a little bit more about run fits, and it's becoming a little bit more challenging to be critical of linebacker play, of nickel play, because I know that it is very challenging to do that. But I would say there were times where over the course of the season, I thought, oh man, is this the right fit for Bobby? Is this where he's supposed to be? But again, a lot of these two high safety structures, a lot of these quarters looks, linebackers have to play a gap and a half or a two
which
gap look.
Super tough, you know, yeah.
Which is incredibly tough. So I think that given what he's done, given the age, given, you know, kind of where he's at from a health standpoint, I think he did as good as you could have expected. But I do think, you know, you got to think long term. When you talk to people around the NFL, one of the things they bring up is they say, hey, you know, like, he's not the person he was before. And that's a reasonable expectation considering he's 34 years old. So that's kind of what I'm alluding to there. I think he's a guy that you need to have a plan for him not being around long-term, find a way to get a little bit younger, find a way to get a little bit more athletic. I don't think you have to look farther than like Zach Bond, for example, and the impact that he had from a coverage standpoint when he was in Philadelphia. And so I think those are some of the things you look at with Bobby. Again, incredibly grateful to him, incredibly impressed with his leadership, incredibly impressed with his career. But, you know, older players, like, you need to think about plans moving forward. And that's kind of what I'm saying with Bobby there.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Jeremy Chinn as your priority, Logan. Bobby would be my priority because he played 98% of the snaps. And I don't know if you know this, like, who wears the green dot if it's not Bobby Wagner? Like, who else knows and has a mastery of this defense? So that's my other question mark with that. I think you bring up a good point in terms of sort of phasing him out. And it's not a negative thing in terms of phasing him out. It's just about, you know, ultimately for me, getting more speed on the field. But we'll see how they ultimately end up handling that. The defensive side of the football is interesting, Logan. Like, that, if you poll most folks, you know, locally, nationally, about the Achilles heel of this football team, they would talk about the Commanders' defense, the run defense in particular. Is it a quick fix, Logan, to you, or is it something where you need a couple of different ancillary pieces to help you here? Obviously, I've been screaming it since August that they didn't have a guy to me that was a three-down defensive end that could set the edge and give you the pass rush juice. I was a big fan of Javonte Jean-Baptiste before he went down. I think he's someone that they'll count on next year. But when you look at the struggles of this defense, how do you go about shoring it up?
Yeah, I think, well, when I look at the defensive struggles, I think a lot of it, to me, is just guys not always doing what they're supposed to do. And I do think there's an element of Joe Witt Jr. kind of allowing that. I think when you look at, just as an example, Dante Fowler had a tremendous year, you know, very productive from a pass rush standpoint. Found a lot of explosive plays behind the line of scrimmage in terms of tackle for loss. And sometimes he's rolling the dice a little bit. He's kind of taking a gamble. He's like leaving the gap he's supposed to be in. And those, honestly, those negative run plays are extremely valuable to defense. So I don't want to diminish that, but there are times where he's not playing exactly the right technique and he kind of puts the defense under a little bit of stress. Everybody kind of took turns over the course of the year doing that, and you get explosive plays from Sheldon Day, but you get him kind of throwing out the club on a double team in the next series, right? And that's when you watch defense around the NFL, that's something that's very, very common. But I think, honestly, as guys get more familiar, as guys get more confident in the run scheme and a little bit more disciplined, I think you're going to see a better product. And I do think it's important to note that I think this defense played really well. I think, you know, obviously there are some limitations statistically. I think you see some limitations in terms of, you know, how many yards they gave up. But I think they understood how to be opportunistic given the talent that they had. I think they did a great job in third down situations of winning those situations more often than not, battening down the hatches in the red zone, keeping points off the board, really being an offensive driven football team and understanding their role in the team dynamic, I think is very clear. So yes, I think they could add some pieces. Yes, I think they're in year two, they're going to be better because guys have a better understanding for what Joe Witt Jr. is looking for from a run fit standpoint. But yeah, I think obviously, like, if you get a big Haas defensive end that can set edges and rush the passer, that'd be great. But
they don't grow on trees, right?
they don't grow on trees. So yeah, you got to kind of make do with what you got. And I think Adam Peters is always going to be looking to get more talented. And I think, you know, specifically along the defensive line.
Logan, from a like philosophical standpoint, and I'm asking you to put your GM hat on here for a second. Looking at, and I guess this is my general rule of thumb whenever you're evaluating free agents at these positions, and then specifically this year with the talent that exists, I continue to feel like, man, if I am Washington, I am going offensive line, defensive line, heavy in the draft, and using wide receiver or using free agency rather to kind of supplement my wide receiver room. And traditionally, Logan, I would not think that way because I feel like wide receivers, we talk about edge rushers and elite defensive ends don't grow on trees. I kind of think wide receivers do. So for that reason, I'm traditionally a draft a wide receiver guy. But in this year's class, when you think about the depth that you have up front on both sides of the football, I know the D-line's getting talked about a lot, but as you continue to watch more tape, I think the offensive linemen in this class are pretty decent too. Would that be kind of the way you go if you're Washington, kind of hitting the draft heavy in the trenches and then going and getting your skill group guys out in free agency?
Yeah, I think I'd probably do a little bit of both. And what I mean by that is, like, before going to the draft, I want to make sure I have all my bases covered. I want to make sure that I could field the 90-man roster that I'm comfortable, or 53-man roster that I'm comfortable with, quite honestly, right? So, like, right now, there's a couple guys that are, you know, unsigned to the team. There's 29 free agents currently for the, or guys who are supposed to be pending free agents. I want to re-sign some of those guys to fill in some of the gaps so that when I do go into the draft, I can be more selective about, hey, here's an offensive lineman that I really like. I can draft him, develop him. He can add talent to an offensive line group that overperformed last year. And I feel really good about it, as opposed to saying, oh man, I really need to kind of make sure I find that nickel cornerback or that outside corner. Like, I can be more specific in the draft process. And I do agree with you. I think that when you look at the defensive line groups in this draft class, very deep, I think the offensive line doesn't have quite the peak that last year had. I mean, just watching through them, you know, I did a podcast, it's called Pick the Draft Podcast. It's on the Command Center Podcast Network, but you can hear kind of more thoughts on it there. But I do think this O-line class has some talented guys, but they're a little bit more green compared to last year's class. So if you can draft a guy that's very talented, have him sit or be a rotational person for a year, that's going to pay dividends long term, to your point. And then with the receiver, I think it's the same thing every year. Like, this year, it's a down receiver class. Free agent receivers are going to be super expensive because those top flight guys are looking for a lot of money. So those are the kind of decisions that you need to negotiate, I think, here in the free agency. But I think the foundational element of free agency in the draft is make sure you have the roster kind of established through free agency so I can add the more talented pieces in the draft.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating, man. I always love, you know, having these conversations with you. You have quickly, like, turned into my go-to guy when it comes to the draft and scouting talent, man. To think, man, the big burly tight end that was rumbling and stumbling down the field knows some ball, man. I always love catching up with you on this stuff as we're joined by former Redskins tight end Logan Paulson. He's also the co-host of the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. You can also check out his stuff with the Command Center on YouTube, doing good work for the team. Logan, this is just, there's so many different things I wanted to cover here with you in this conversation. I want to look at the offensive line here because after watching the Super Bowl, I mean, you've seen a lot of ball in your life. Have you ever seen a front four kick ass the way that Philadelphia's did this past Sunday?
I mean, it's historic. It's an historic performance for a reason. I mean, in Super Bowl history, there's never been a team that hasn't blitzed with the, you know what I'm saying? So like it's historically very relevant. And so, no, I have not seen something like that. I've seen shades of that, obviously, when, you know, those old New York Giants offensive lines, when they'd play the Patriots and give them a run for their money. Those were kind of some dominant performances. Obviously, Tampa Bay blitzed a lot more, but the last time they played Kansas City, that was a very dominant performance by the defensive front. But to get four guys that could physically get after a group the way that Philadelphia did, I thought was extremely impressive. And again, that's the goal. That's the objective in team building, is finding a way to do that defensively. Because think about what that does from a coverage standpoint. It just gives you so much more flexibility. So, yeah, I think you got to look at defensive linemen, like we just talked about. You got to look at offensive linemen. And I think when you're looking at the Commanders' offensive line, like I think they did a really solid job last year. I think, you know, the way they pass protected, the way they communicated, the way they kind of were tough and gritty. But I think look no further than Philly's offensive line or Buffalo's offensive line. Like, they're composed of some very physically gifted and talented people. And I think that's ultimately what you're looking to do this offseason with the Commanders' offensive line, is just find pieces to kind of infuse that group with talent. And because, again, you have to compete with Philadelphia twice a year being in the same division.
It's part one of my sit-down with Commanders, former Commanders tight end, Logan Paulson. Always love catching up and talking ball with him. We were getting ready to get into the offensive line. I know that's something that you all want to get into as this offseason continues to roll. We'll play you part two of the sit-down tomorrow as I'm back with you 6:30 to 10 right here on The Fan. Hearing Logan talk about the offensive line and how he would address that group is fascinating stuff. We touch on one of the hot-button conversations that we've had on Commander's Twitter, on the radio, on both the Team 980 and here on 106.7 The Fan. Should they kick Brandon Coleman inside to guard? You'll hear Logan Paulson and his thoughts on that coming up tomorrow when we play you that conversation, part two of that conversation. Right now, I want to get you up to speed on the latest with the Wizards. I didn't realize it coming into tonight. Indiana, quietly, just the four seed out in the Eastern Conference, playing good basketball, and the Wizards giving them everything that they can handle. Washington with a 9-point lead with 10:34 left to go in regulation. Just playing really solid basketball, shooting the ball well, defending at a pretty high level. I mentioned the way that they were shooting from beyond the arc. They're still doing it. The Wizards shooting a blistering 19 of 35 from the 3-point line. It's a big reason why they're up 9 right now with 10 and change left to go in the final period. Leading scorer for your Washington Wizards, shocker, none other than Jordan Poole. He's got 24 points. 13 of those came in that third quarter for the Washington Wizards. 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals and a block. So you want to talk about a stat sheet stuffing performance from old Jordan Poole. That's what tonight was. It was also the return of Alex Saar back to the lineup. He had missed the last 5 games with an ankle sprain. Quiet night offensively, just 2 of 10 from the floor. 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He's got 2 blocks, though, as well, and he's altered a bevy of other shots as well. Bub Carrington, the other guy in this Wizards starting five that's been electric offensively, 4-6 from the great beyond, 6 of 10 from the field, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. I tweeted this out a moment ago. I don't know how much traction it's gotten on social media. What's the likelihood that Jordan Poole and Bub Carrington are the backcourt of the future for the Washington Wizards? How likely is it that Poole and Bub are your starting backcourt for years to come? Because say what you want about Jordan Poole, he has been a pro's pro this year in terms of his effort, and the way he shot the ball has been really impressive. I think defensively, obviously, it's just not good enough. But when he lacks in defense, he makes up in offense. I mean, he's having one of the best shooting seasons we have seen in recent memory in the NBA. And I think with a point guard like Bub next to him, someone that I think, I don't know if all defense is a hyperbole, but like Bub can end up being one of the better defenders in the association at the lead guard spot.
You play him next to Jordan Poole, and all of a sudden your concerns are alleviated on the defensive end, I would think, at least a little bit. The other revelation from tonight's game, Corey Kispert, and I got some numbers on him that I just DM'd to myself that are just out of this world when it comes to the way he is shooting the basketball. This is via Bijan Todd of Monumental Sports Network, one of my absolute favorites. So Corey Kispert is 5 of 6 from the three-point line tonight. He's got 21 points. In his first 19 games of the season, Corey shot 30% from beyond the arc. He's gotten it up to 38% over his last 29 games. And over his last 6 games, he's shooting 17 to 35. Now, that number obviously has got to be adjusted because at the time of the tweet, he was 3 for 3. Now he's 5 for 6. Corey Kispert heating up from beyond the arc as the Wizards continue to play good basketball and try to turn a corner here in the second half of the season. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM at National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Final hour of power coming up. But first, we'll get to our guy, Athan, in Annapolis. What's going on, Athan? What are your thoughts? Who is your priority free agent that the Commanders should bring back?
You know, for me, Bud, it's kind of just really hard to figure out because they have just so many holes. And I think that everybody's kind of forgetting that they played a soft schedule and that they found a way to win because of the quarterback. I don't know what the quick answer is for this team. You know, that's all the Myles Garrett talk and whatever. Okay, well, let's say they get Myles Garrett. But who are you going to put on the other end? Javonte Jean-Baptiste, is he going to be that much improved in year two? I think you got to bring Wagner back just from a leadership perspective and put, you know, some younger, faster linebackers around him for him to mentor. But just for me, you know, plain and simple, There's just a lot of needs. But the defense has got to come first. It's got to be fixed. They don't have speed on any side of the ball. And it really, you just got to look at who they're playing next year. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer or a negative Nancy or anything like that because the quarterback helped them overcome a lot. But he's got, you know, 19 games on tape now or whatever the case may be. People are going to make adjustments to Jaden's game. I think the best thing they can do for the offense is get a shifty running back, but to be continued. And the last thing I'll say is, man, if the Wizards could even get to respectability, I think you might jump out of your skin. You'd be talking about basketball more than you would be about football.
I love my Zardos, Anthony. You know that.
You do. I'll give you that. You strive for that mediocrity.
Hey, man, it's about trusting the process. And guess what? Our 20-year-old first-round rookie that we just traded for just knocked down what I think is the dagger three of the game, Anthony. So how do you like that?
It's the little things in life that go a long way.
Appreciate you chiming in as always, my good brother.
1-800-636-1067
is number. Final hour of power coming up on this Monday night edition of Overtime. Marcus Spears of NFL Live. I had some pretty interesting thoughts about the Washington Commanders relative to next year. Let's hear from Marcus Spears next.